We're going to start in Hebrews 10 this morning. It might bounce around a little bit, but Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 16. This is a covenant that I'll make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he has their sins and lawless deeds I'll remember no more. Now this is one of the verses that helped me to understand grace in the proper context. I want to be sure as we talk about who we are and where God's taken us that I call them disclaimers. When every time Gary gets up and says, God told me to quit my job, he then gives a disclaimer. And don't you quit your job unless God tells you to. You know, that's a disclaimer. Well, the messages we're going into need a lot of disclaimers. When we talk about grace and talk about who we are, it's important for us to know there's a difference between the grace of God and the disrespectful grace that's being preached sometimes. The wave of the message of grace, the healthy message of grace, was such a needed move in the body of Christ the last 20 years, 30 years, that says, look, you're going to have trouble, but don't ever think that God is mad at you. Don't ever think that God gives up on you. Don't ever think that he doesn't love you. What a healthy move of grace that was to come through and tell the body of Christ, he doesn't love you because you gave your 10%. He doesn't love you because you gave extra money in the offering or because you did something good for the poor. He loves you because you're his child. The message that says you're healed because of what Jesus did. You're forgiven because of what Jesus did. You know, the way the Lord showed me was one day he spoke in my spirit. He said, God, he gave me righteousness. His gift to me was right standing with God. My gift back to him is holiness. Because you can choose to live a Christian life and not deal with unholy things in your life and still go to heaven. You can accept, in fact, a lot of the message has been preached around the world. Basically, the goalpost has been lowered. The standard's been lowered for what we're trying to achieve. And that's part of our struggle at the prayer center is we refuse to lower the standard and we're setting a goal of what Jesus did, we can do. And I've heard a lot over the years of, well, you just have to accept who you are. Because you ever have a struggle in your life? I want to receive something from God. Well, brother, you just have to accept who you are. You're a child of God. Accept it. So you spend all night, I accept it. I accept it. I accept it. You have to identify that you're in Christ and not identify with the world. I identify I'm in Christ. So you try to move yourself over. But for some reason, that old flesh doesn't like to move. And so what's happened is because we've lowered the standard of the gospel to a place of being good people, doing good things, we've become, I call, camouflaged Christians. We try to camouflage who we are. We come to church dressed up nice. You all look good today, by the way. Hair's done nice. But we start to hide our struggles. Because I don't want to identify with my struggles. I don't want anyone to know about my struggles. And so we camouflage. When we go to God, we camouflage our struggles. As in, don't look over here, God. Look over here. Look at this good work. Look at the anointing I'm in. I walk in. Look at the scripture I can quote. Look at the good works that I'm doing. And we try to camouflage who we are to God, not just the people around us. If we don't have a true revelation of his grace, you'll try to camouflage your flesh instead of realizing, God, I'm getting rid of this flesh. See, I'm getting rid of this sucker. This is my struggles. But when I come to God, he looks at me. He sees the righteous child of God that he birthed me as. He doesn't see the struggles that I'm going through. Every time you go to God, do you understand his grace allows you to walk boldly into his presence, even with all kinds of struggles. See, when you allow yourself to become vulnerable to God, saying, I'm a mess. But I'm your child, you're stuck with me. See, he is happy for you to come running into his presence, carrying all that mud on you, and he'll love you, embrace you. I watched the other day, I think it must have been yesterday, they had the National Prayer Day, and it was all different religions praying in their form to their God, and it was almost comical. And because you'd have one guy praying to one God, one guy praying to the Christian God, one guy praying to the Muhammad God, one guy praying to the Buddhist God. And then I love when there's a church that came on, and it was kind of an old-style African-American church. They started to play music, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you felt their heart towards God. And it's like, wow, what a difference. We used to have in Canada, they had we had one Christian channel. We have in America different Christian channels. Usually the flavor of the faith is what goes on that channel. So you kind of get one, the same preacher, just different faces every hour, you know, and also asking for offerings every hour. And so in Canada, the government decided that instead of just having one type of Christianity have their own channel, they officially started their own kind of gospel channel. The government did. So if you watched it, you'd have a half an hour of an old-time evangelist, Christian evangelist, and then the next half an hour would be a Buddhist and then a Muslim. And so every half hour was a different religion representing their views on who God is. And you can see clearly the way they dress, the way they look, that they approach God with an awe, with a reverence, and with a God way up in heaven view. Because remember, your flesh understands God in the form of religion and will happily accept religion as its avenue to God. But when you're born again, your spirit man knows God as a what? Now, who gave him that name? He did. He wanted you to call him Father, because that's what he became to you. Father. See? And so the knowledge of a healthy grace is to know that even in my battle, my struggles in life, my imperfections, I have the right to run into his presence. Anytime. You go into his presence vulnerable, knowing I am fighting these struggles, because I've told you before, you're not your flesh. You battle your flesh. You're not your struggles. They're your battles. That allows you to go boldly into his presence, because his grace made a way for you to be accepted as perfect before you're perfect. Before you got that flesh, old body, wrestled to the ground and submitted to God. We're not trying to fix this body. We're trying to mortify this body. Gary talked this morning about living sacrifice. It's different than a sacrifice, because when you brought the little lamb to sacrifice, it was a quick, they killed it quick and a lot of mercy, just a quick kill. And the blood of that lamb was a sacrifice. But in Romans 12, it tells us to bring a living sacrifice. So it's torturous for you that you got to daily bring this old body and put it on the altar. No, I don't want to go. Well, you're going to go anyway. So understanding the grace, we talk about grace in a healthy way, but there is a twisted grace where it wants, is the way the flesh wants to be accepted by God too. When the moment you make a way for your flesh, your body, the knowledge of your flesh, to go into God's presence and be accepted, you've just gone into a twisted view of yourself and of who God is. And it's unhealthy. It may feel good. It may make you feel safe, but you're in the least safe place possible. You're on the Titanic, and you think you're in something indestructible because you're thinking, I am safe with God. But really, you got yourself on a path walking away from God. See, healthy view of grace is right here, looking at verse 16. This covenant I make with them, make with them after those days, says, I'll put my laws in their heart. See, when the devil taught me unhealthy grace, the enemy taught me a view that said, sin's been put away with. Sin's been put away with. All rules, all laws have been done away with. I can go now do what I want in my flesh, and God, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Now, if you would ask me, can you lose your salvation? I'd say yes. But eventually that road would take me down a place where I would be preaching, you can't lose your salvation. Anyway, that's the enemy's path that he got me on. That sin's been put away with. I can sin, and I can, because I didn't know the difference between me and my flesh, my body. The law of God is now written in my heart. He didn't do away with the law. He made it more difficult. He put it in me. So now I have this nature, say nature, which explains the heart of God, the who I am. It's that little voice that comes out that says, this is who we are. It's what teaches you who you are. It doesn't have a voice like an opinion. It just tells you who you are. So now, if you were to strip away your flesh, when you get to heaven, how many know when you get to heaven, you're not going to want to get in trouble. You're not going to want that old sin that you're fighting with. Why? Because the source of that is your body. Let's see. I feel like I'm trying to just help paint a picture this morning. Because we don't want to throw away grace, you know. They say don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. Well, we don't want to throw away the baby with the bathwater, but we want to throw away the cyanide that's in the bathwater. We want to get rid of that. So grace is a good word. It's the unhealthy, twisted teaching of the grace that makes a way for your flesh, not just, listen, your flesh, not just the bad parts that you recognize, but the good parts. And makes a way for that to be part of who you are. Now let's go to 1 Peter. And we'll start in chapter 2. When you allow yourself to be vulnerable to God and say, God, this is who I am. I'm your child. You go into his presence. He won't reject you. Why don't Joe come with little Jonah? I don't know if he's officially been introduced yet, but we'll use that too as official introduction. Look at that. What a baby. Yeah. Made in the image of Dad. All right, let's give Jonah back to Mom for just 1 minute. And let me borrow someone. Daniel, why don't you come up here? Now, don't boo him because he's not playing Mr. Unrighteousness today. Give him a clap. Let him feel good this time. Joe, why don't you come up here, though? Now, what we have to remember is at the creation, man was made with the ability to live in the world of the natural and in the spiritual world at the same time. So at the very creation, man was built with an inward body and an outward body. And a lot of times we get the word spirit mixed up with the word spirit. See, when the word spirit, sometimes it means the new nature, and sometimes it means your inward body. See, when you're in heaven, I mean, I used to wonder, like, when God spoke to me, he spoke way down here. You ever do that? How do you know? Well, I just know. I just felt his presence, right? He spoke to me right there. So when the Bible says that God speaks to you spirit to spirit, what does that mean? Like, my spirit down here somewhere felt his ghostly presence. But it's more real. It's not as hard as we make it. God was standing there where you can see him, and he went, hello. And your inner man with your inner ears heard him speak it. And where did that knowledge go? Into your spiritual mind. Because 100 years from now, the Lord tarry, how many know you'll be in heaven? Now, what part of you will not be in heaven? Your body won't be here. But you'll be standing there. Are we ghost-like in heaven? Or do we walk around? Remember the story of the rich man Lazarus and the poor beggar? And he was in hell. He had ears. And he saw And he said, please let Lazarus, just let him touch. There he's talked about fingers. See, don't overcomplicate it. The nature, the spirit you received from God was a nature. It's not weird. It's not like, it's a beautiful nature. Every animal has a nature. Your nature changed from the nature of a human to the nature of God when you were born again. Amen? The nature doesn't have a form. It's who, it teaches you who you are. The nature doesn't have ears. It doesn't have a brain, but your spiritual body does. So you have a spiritual body. All humans have a spiritual body and a natural body. Say amen if you still understand me. So when God speaks to you, he actually stands there and goes, hello. I remember the time when I was worshiping God, and I just started worshiping him. I said, I worship you, I love you. And then after a while, all of a sudden, I heard the word say, I love you. And you say, I love you more. Shut up. Every once in a while, I go, yeah, I know you do, but but that's what he said to me. I love you more. He said, I love you more. And I was shocked. I thought, oh, I worship you, I worship you. And every time I said, I love you, it was like a love fest. Every time I said, I love you, he said, I love you more. And I just, I love you more. And it was so wonderful, such a beautiful thing. I thought at the moment that I had reached up into heaven, broke through the atmosphere, and touched heaven, and brought God from heaven into my little room. And the Lord began to show me in a vision. He said, no, you missed it. And the way he showed me was I was standing on one side, and there was a big globby wall of flesh right here. It had like little hairs and little pimples and dimples and fat little, all those things. So right there, big, thick wall of flesh. And then on the other side was me. And there I was in a room. And when I lifted up my hands on the outside, my inward man did the same thing. We did it together. And I said, when I said, I worship you, God was right there talking to me and fellowshipping with me in my spirit man. But I never heard it with my natural ears. I didn't even know what was going on. So all those hours I spent saying, I love you, I worship you. I thought he was up in heaven ignoring me. Give me a little more. Give me a little more. Come on, I need some more. Give me some more action. You're not there yet. Give me some. Give more heart to it. Come on. Bring some tears to the. Come on, give me more. And finally, when I broke through, he came and said, okay, I hear you. I hear you. See, I thought that was the first time that he said, I love you. But what I saw was the very first moment I lifted my hands and said, I worship you. He was right there fellowshipping with my inner man. But because I'm so carnal, I didn't hear. And what God said was, no. That's what he told me. Because the image was me standing on the outside of my wall of flesh and me standing on the inside. And that's when he showed me the inner man and the outward man. And I was, see, the transformation is transforming to live out of the spirit man that I became. Now, so when I began to lift up my hands, God's presence came right then. He was fellowshipping with me and me with him. And what God told me was every time you said, I love you, God told you, I love you more. Your inner man heard it, but all that happened to you was you got close enough to that flesh that you overheard, your flesh overheard the conversation that had always been going on between your spirit and God. So when we say the word spirit, first rule, find out what it's talking about in Scripture. Is it talking about the new nature? Is it talking about your inner body? Or is it talking about the Holy Spirit? You have to look and say, which one is it? I have little notes in my Scripture. If it's the Holy Spirit, I put a line above it. If it's my new nature, I put a line beneath it. And if it's my inner man, I have a little circle. So I can see in Scripture which one it is. Because the word spirit can be used for all three of those. So when you see the word spirit, first rule, is he talking about the new nature or is he talking about my inward man? Second rule, whenever you think of your inward man, spirit, think of you up in heaven without your flesh. You're going to have a body. You'll have toes and fingers, a nose. That's going to be you in heaven. How do we know that? Now, when it says there's no male or female, I'm not going to go there. I don't know if we're genderless bodies when we get to heaven. My first view is that it's more orderly. There's no order of man over woman when we get to heaven, that type of thing. But if you want to imagine yourself walking around genderless in heaven, I'll let you do that. But where's your beard? I can't grow a beard in heaven. All right. But imagine yourself in heaven walking around and God talking to you. That's what you look like right now. You have an inner body, a body made of spirit. All right. Say amen if you're still with me. Now, come stand over here, guys. Stand beside each other. So this is your inner body. Joe is going to be the outward body today. And Daniel's going to be the inner body. I call them conjoined twins because they're joined at the mind. They're joined in the will. They're joined in their emotions. Okay? They're perfect twins. They think alike. They act alike. They do alike. They don't disagree. This is before you're born again. No disagreement. Who taught these two to be who they are? A nature of darkness. Okay? A nature that came from a fallen Adam taught them how to be who they are. You still with me? So the nature's not here. This is just the bodies. Okay? You live with two bodies. Right? You have two bodies. Say this. I have two bodies. A natural body and a spiritual body. I have a nature that came from God. All right. Are you still with me so far? Okay. So the first thing you do when you see the word spirit is decide. Is that talking about the new nature? When you think of the new nature, just think of a blob, a beautiful blob that sits inside of you and tells you who you are. It's light. It's life. But it doesn't have ears or nothing else. It's just the nature. The word spirit can mean your inner body. So does it mean that? If it means the inner body, then think of yourself in heaven without your flesh, without aging. We figure 33 and a half is a good age. That's the age Jesus left. So that's where we figure that's a good age for us to live eternity, 33 and a half years old. For some of us, we get to go back, and some of us get to go forward. Some of us go way back, but some of you go way back. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to read out here out of 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babes. Say that. Newborn babes. Was hoping to teach this before I saw little Jonah walking around here, so perfect. As newborn babes. Understand, there's not an accident in the vocabulary of God. When he says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. He says, what? How do I go back into my mother's womb? See, the imagery is born again. Born again. You are born of God. You're born again. You're born the first time of Adam. The second time, you're born of a heavenly father. Say amen if you're still with me. So the imagery that if you look in the New Testament that's trying to be painted over and over, because this is one of the areas that a false grace gets in there, is I'm born again, I'm perfect. I'm perfect, God has completed me in the Spirit, so now I can just be that man of God that he made me. I'm just going to be holy today forever. I'm just going to take those emotions, you understand, like, When I've been talking about the insecurities and I'm talking about the infirmities of the natural man that were left over from being born again, you were left with infirmities. That's why he said, I sent the Holy Ghost to help you with your infirmities. Why? Because salvation did not erase the infirmities. The infirmities, what it did erase, salvation erased the power of those infirmities to stay there. But it didn't erase the struggle to get rid of them. Before you're born again, no hope. No hope. So he uses these words, born again. And here in 1 Peter 2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. Now, little Jonah's getting hungry pretty soon here. Now, he's going to want milk. He's not going to want steak. Now, I know some of you old, I remember with Harrison, we decided to nurse him. And I remember telling Christy's grandma, we're not, because they'll feed him anything. You know, they're Tennessee folks. So they're going to, you know. I mean, she actually said, I said, we're nursing him, don't feed him anything. And she actually said to me, that baby needs nutrients. Some biscuits and gravy. I'm like, man, you are country. I'm Canadian. I never had biscuit or gravy until I was in my 20s. I know, thank you. I love them now, but babies like milk, newborns like milk, because they can't digest anything else. They can't even chew it yet. They got no teeth. Don't be stuffing biscuits and sausage gravy down the mouth with no teeth. You know? Anyway, she still did it anyway, but so here's what happens. Here's what I want you to see. The moment you are born again, see, we know that the nature was quickened. When you hear the word quickened, that means instantly changed. Instantly. Boom. A new nature. Complete. A new nature. So the nature, the spirit nature, was quickened. Instantly you went from a nature of darkness that taught you who you were to a nature of life. Hold on, let's go there. Romans chapter 8. See, part of a powerful grace message is to know that it's okay to struggle. Quit trying to be perfect or pretend you're perfect and camouflage yourself when you come to God. And even quit camouflaging yourself when you come to people. We have too many preachers preaching from a place that they're not living in because they want to give you an image that they're perfect. Whereas we need to have it where people can see. This is a walk for everyone. Romans chapter 8. Oh, let's see here. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. The word flesh here can mean two things. I know we're going backwards a little bit. It can mean your body or it can mean the old nature, right? This word flesh means old nature. In Romans 8, and I'm reading out of the New King James, so forgive me if I'm a few words are different. But it says, but you are not in the flesh. That's you're not in the old nature anymore. Every time you see the word flesh in Romans 8, it's referring to the old nature of sin. When you see the word body, it means the body. But you are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. Now, what spirit is he talking about? The Holy Spirit, the inner body, or the new nature? Here he's talking about the new nature. But you're not, you are in the spirit. You're born again. If indeed the spirit, the nature of God dwells in you, or now, if anyone does not have the nature or spirit of Christ, he's not his. Very simple so far. And if Christ is in you, the body is, what? Because of sin. But the spirit is life because of what? Now, I want you to see here, the word righteousness here means your new nature. Because you got that new nature, your inner body now is life. So the word spirit in chapter 10 here is not talking about the born-again nature, is talking about your inward body. Because righteousness came into you by the new nature, you now have a body that is still dead, but you have a spirit man, a spiritual body, an inward body that is now alive because of that new nature. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Or quickeneth, sorry. Through the new nature, your body will be quickened. So now we know your nature, your new nature is quickened. How many know that the moment you asked Jesus in your heart, you had a new nature? Right then, right that moment. that old nature died. And it tells us here that the spirit became alive. The inner body became life. But then it says the body will be quickened instantly. In a moment, in twinkling an eye, when the trumpet sounds, someone make a trumpet sound. That's good. Doo-doo-doo. However loud it's going to be. In that moment that happens, whether you're in heaven or coming down on a horse or on a white horse with Christ, or whether you're here on this earth, in that moment, those that are born again, that have that new nature in you, your body will be quickened. You'll have a new body. But until that time, as long as you're wearing this old body, it's still dead. Still with me so far? So what I'm trying to show you here is, see, what part of you is the baby? Your newborn baby. As newborns, desire sincerely the milk of the Word of God. What part of you is a baby? Oh, don't answer because you may get in trouble. What part of you is a baby? The new nature is quickened, it's changed. The nature doesn't grow. Do you know that you take a seed? You can take a seed and cut it open and look down with your with the right, you know, whatever you want to word it, microscope, the spiritual one. And in every seed, you can look at the image in that seed and see if it's a tree and what kind of tree it is. See, the image doesn't change and grow with the seed. What happens is the seed is planted. When you feed the seed, it grows into the image that was already always in the seed. So the nature of God doesn't grow in you. It doesn't mature. What part of you became a baby? The knowledge of the inner man came from darkness. Was taught by this world, was taught by a nature of sin. But the moment you were saved, you received a new nature. You're stuck with this old body. But the inner man, the best way to word it was all the knowledge that came from darkness, all the wisdom that came from this world was plowed over. And now it has to be rebuilt. But this time the source of your spirit man, the source of his knowledge doesn't come from darkness because it doesn't understand darkness. It comes from the nature and from the Holy Spirit of life and light. Are you still with me? Turn with me to Philippians while we let this guy get born again here. He's got an old body and an old nature and an old inner body. But he gets born again. Joe's our man. Joe's the outward body. Here's Daniel. He's still dark, but he's not Mr. Unrighteousness. He's just been taught by this old nature of sin. So he got born again. The nature of sin came in, and it says that your nature was quickened. And so in a moment, his nature was switched from darkness to life. The body is left dead, but now the inward man becomes alive. Do you ever see a baby get born? And you know why they spank the baby? Make it breathe. And if they don't breathe right away, they start tweaking his feet. I remember, I think it was Harrison. I'm not sure if it was Harrison or Ava. They take him, and they're very, you know, for a man, I don't know, for a woman, it's very traumatic. For a man, you know, it's really a rough time giving birth, you know, in the birthing room. And you're watching these nurses who have been in hundreds of births, so they treat the kids like dolls, throwing them around. Surprised they're not passing them across the room. They're so comfortable. You know, you're like, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Every little, you know, beep, dee-dee, you know, what's going on? Something wrong. And they're passing my kid around, and one of my kids was just laying there, putting this little kind of little crib by, and all of a sudden the nurse walks over and tweaks his foot. Bunk! And I'm thinking, I'm going to knock you in the head. You know, but in her mind, he wasn't breathing enough. So she smacked his foot, and he went, ah! You never breathe life until the day you were born again. That's the first time your inner man went. See, your body, look at me, your natural body has never experienced life. Now, I'll say this again. Your natural body has never experienced life. It's still dead. And it's going to fall off you. But your inner man was brought to life. But the imagery here is you're brought to life as a newborn babe. Not complete in knowledge. You don't know anything. Jonah, what's your address? You know how much of work it took us to teach our kids phone numbers and addresses? You know, once they learned the phone number, Chrissy keeps getting, I made sure they learned her number, not mine. You know, because when you get a kid, if they get lost, they need to recite their address and their, you know, and you're like, what's your address? They keep getting it wrong. It took time for them to learn. Well, this is the imagery God wants you to see. The moment you're born again, your nature comes complete, switch, full of life, full of complete. Your nature doesn't have knowledge of where you live or what scripture, and it tells you who you are, how to be a child of God. Is pushing out of you. Your inner man is what I want you to see. All the knowledge of your inner man. All the earthly wisdom that it got from darkness. See, even though the Bible calls you dead, it's not dead as in laying on the road, animal being run over dead. It means death is being produced and taught. The world is full of death. But the day you got born again, your inner body, like a newborn baby, went and breathe this first source of life. Where did that life come from? The nature that God put inside of you. All the wisdom, all the knowledge of that earthly, of this darkness was erased out of your spirit. And you now are like, Daniel, I'm sorry, but you are plowed over with a bulldozer. Your inner man was like unbuilt, deconstructed. See, so thank you, Daniel. You can sit down over here. Joe, go get little Jonah. This is what your inner man looks like. In imagery. Now, someone said, well, does that mean when I go to heaven, I'm a little baby? Probably not. It's not talking about the form of your inner man as much as the knowledge, the emotions. See, this little guy, show him around really good. Everyone wants to see him. All the girls are... See, now I'm going to get... You, none of you are going to hear anything I say. All you women after the service go, that's the best service you ever preached. Jonah's making me look good right now. So Jonah is your inner man, a newborn babe. And this is your flesh. Big, strong, full of wisdom, knowledge. But in God's eyes, dumb as a rock. Let me show you. I mean, you can look in 1 Corinthians where he talks about earthly wisdom and not preaching in human wisdom. See, look over here in Philippians. I want you to see this. You still with me so far? So why is it so important we pray in tongues? Because God wants you to take this little spiritual man, your inner body. This is how smart you are when you're born again. Right here. Show them off really good. Let everyone see them. See that, baby? That's how smart you are the moment you're born again. And now you have preachers telling you, go out and walk in who you are. Go out and preach. And okay. And then the devil comes and destroys them and crushes them. They end up giving up on their calling and being good Christians and living normal lives because the goalpost has been brought down. Oh, you're getting it now. So what's the best thing to tell a newborn Christian? Go spend time with someone who can teach you who you are. Now look at the difference. Paul says in Philippians. Let's do this way. Let's switch back to your other inner man. Let's go back before he was born again. Same man, if you're still with me. Oh, we'll start in chapter 3. You ever hear about guys get on stage and they start reading people's mail, but they're not born again, they're just, you know, reading people's mail. See, they have, every human has a nature, a spirit, a nature of darkness, but they have a spiritual inward man too. So if someone took the time and knew the right way, they can learn how to operate in dark spiritual things. Witchcraft, Satanism, all kinds of crazy stuff you hear about. A lot of that's true. Because you can learn to operate in the supernatural through darkness. Because they're as spiritual as you are. But your spirit man came to life. Theirs is dark. When you hear people go to some person, they say, well, Grandma Jones is here. And she's holding your little doll that she gave you when you were 3. Well, that's not Grandma Jones. That's a familiar spirit that used to hang around Grandma Jones and knows all the details of Grandma Jones. And they're trying to trick you, those demons. And even in comfort, it's amazing how a little bit of the world's starving for spiritual things. In a little, even a little dark spiritualism, people are like, oh, when they say that God is doing this, God's doing that, and it's devil stuff. It's to get them off course. So here's Paul, not born again. And here's what he says. Though this is him saying, now listen, he's talking about his past. The Apostle Paul, say the Apostle Paul. The great tongue talker, Apostle Paul. Say it. You guys are doing good. Verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Now, it's really coming against people trying to bring Judaism into Christianity. So here's Paul. I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law. Now, when he says the law, he's talking about Scripture, Old Testament Scripture. I think by the age of 10 or the age of 12, probably, they had memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. So by the age of 12, they've already memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. Now, let's start. Who wants to take a shot at it? Bunch of American, bunch of Gentiles, you. So by the age of 12, Paul had already memorized, can quote verse for verse, the first 5 books of the Bible. You with me? Paul was not an old sinner saved. He was not a fornicator, a drug addict, a party guy, liar. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. The holiest religious guy you've ever met. Could quote Scripture. Because you know, this unsaved, dark spirit man and the unsaved, dark flesh man, they both have minds. When you get to heaven, and there you are smiling, if we open up your head, do you think there's going to be a brain in there? Yes. But if I take you to this earth and I see your body, we open up, there's going to be a brain in there too. You have a spiritual brain and a natural brain. But before you're saved, they're in agreement. But the moment you get born again, something changes. So here's Paul talking. Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. With all his power, with all his ability, he was blameless to fulfill the law. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Now, what does it say in the King James Version? Count as, I just want to hear you say it. Dung. Dung. Everything. Now, listen. Listen. Now, let's get him born again. So he gets born again. The old nature is switched with the new nature. Amen? So this guy, the spiritual body, is undone. Not disappeared. Just all the knowledge is taken away. It now has to be renewed and rebuilt. So let's redo that. Come on. Off you go. Born again. Joel's body is still the same. Still the same body. But now he has a new nature, and the inner man was brought to life. Because righteousness is now inside of him, and he has life inside of him teaching the inner man. So when God comes, let's pretend I'm God. This is good. God comes and talks to you. He talks to the inward man. I love you. You can change the world. You're going to raise the dead one day. You're going to cast out devils. You don't have to be afraid of anything. See, that's God speaking to you. And your flesh goes, huh? Huh? How important is it for you to spend time worshiping God? Not for an outward experience of His anointing. Not for, oh, I felt His glory. Who cares if your flesh feels the glory? You took your baby and told... It's like the best thing you do with little babies. Look at him and say, you're going to be an astronaut. You're going to be the president. You're going to change the world. You feel that baby full of courage. So it struts around the school showing off how cool he is because he doesn't know any different. Because you spend hour after hour telling him how special he is. That's how important worship is. So that your inner man can experience the love of a father unconditionally over and over and over. Amen?
Amen.
So this is your inner man. He needs to grow. But will he grow? If you feed it. Why does he say feeding the milk of the word? Why does it say the words like that? Because you have to feed your inner man. You have to feed it. You have to teach it. All right, now you're saved. Go out and raise the dead. Don't go nowhere. Say, but go ahead. Now, listen to what Paul says. He doesn't give any credit even to the memorized scripture that his natural man had learned. Because that memorized scripture is just words. Don't take me wrong, because I believe in the power of the Word of God and the strength of the Word of God, but it has to go through to your spiritual man to interpret it the right way. Because your natural mind will always interpret scripture the wrong way. But your spirit man has the power, the ability to know God as a father. That's why when your natural man argues with your spiritual man, you've been in those arguments. God says, I want you, Gary. Now, don't do this unless God tells you. I want you, Gary, to quit your job. Spiritual man goes, yes, 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 sir, I'll do it because you're my provider. The natural man goes, we're going to starve. We're going to die. Because every problem has two sources now of opinions. And this is why when you spend hour after hour praying in the Holy Ghost, you take your inward man, this little life. See, there's only life in this inward man. And one day it'll all be complete. You'll get a new body. This body, outward body, will be instantly replaced with a new body that doesn't disagree with you. So here you are. This is your bodies, okay? You're a part of this, but this is your bodies. Outward body, full of knowledge. Paul says, everything up here is dung. Dung. We open it up, guess what we're going to find? Dung. Everything you find inside this natural brain, every idea, opinion, no matter how good it is, every spiritual idea, scriptural idea, every thought, because you can't teach it. It doesn't know God. It's impossible. He's going to replace it. Why would he want to fill it up with stuff? You got to replace this sucker. But you can make it submit to the truth that is learned in your spiritual man. The spiritual man says, see, you have infirmities. I like preaching to you. You have struggles in your mind, emotional damage, wounds, hurts, brokenness, insecurities. That's part of every place you'll find brokenness, insecurity, false grief, false lies, any opinions of God. It's in your flesh. It's in this body. It's in the mind of this body, the emotions of this body. It's in the will of this body, the deeds of this body. Okay, now you can live your life as most Christians do because the goalpost has been lowered in American Christianity. This is how you walk around. And who wins in a fight? Who wins in a fight with a little baby? The natural man usually out-talks the spiritual man. And so you let your natural man talk you into things, decisions over and over and over. You wake up, and I'm preaching to myself, and I hear a voice say, "You're not going to make it. What good are you? You're never going. The doctor's right." Now I have a choice. Where's that voice coming from? That's my natural man giving his opinion. So now I have a choice. Do I allow that to live in me, or do I start battling it by saying, "Shut up. Shut up, natural man. You don't know God." "I do so." "No, you don't. You don't know who God is. You'll never know who God is because you're natural. You're of this world." So what do I do when I have these infirmities, these insecurities, these fears? One reason make people work their life slaving to make money and are afraid to follow God in steps and afraid to give up their will to follow God is because they're afraid that God won't take care of them. So what do you do? Well, you can fight with that flesh all day long. That's the first step. See, the word rescues me because the word tells me to see, not that I'm failing. It helps me to see that I'm not condemned to what my flesh is telling me. I can look at the word, and as Gary's been teaching about eating the lamb and being healed, I can look at the word and say, "I'm healed." And see, I made the mistake many times over the years visiting people to pray for them. I mean, sick people, really sick people. And just teach, saying, you know, the word says this. And leaving them thinking they got enough and then not giving them enough. See, the word is there as food for my inward man. He needs to eat. If he doesn't grow, he doesn't eat, he doesn't grow. They'll put him in jail if he doesn't feed that baby, right? Paul goes on to say, all these things I count as dung. Verse 8, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as," oh, here it is, "count them as dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." That's your new nature. "That I may know him." What do you mean you may know him? You already learned him in all those years of Hebrew school. But all that knowledge, even scriptural knowledge, until it comes through the inward man, the inward mind, the inward ears. See, when I read that Bible and it says you're healed, it doesn't make me feel condemned anymore that, well, look at you, you're failed because you're not walking in everything God told you to. It gives me hope. I'm not stuck here. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what my past says. I am not stuck here. You may have a brokenness in your natural soul that makes you angry, that makes you fearful, that makes you lost, that makes you hopeless, that makes you driven to things, even to religion. But don't camouflage your walk with God. Walk into his presence and leave that stuff outside the door when you run in boldly into the throne of God like his child and allow him to love on you. And when you spend time with the teacher, this little boy will grow strong. It doesn't come instantly. So you have in this mind a thought that says, "I'm a failure." Right here, big thought. Been in him for 30 years. How old are you? 30 years. I'm just picking on him, but he's got a thought, I'm a failure. So he's always trying to achieve and prove to everyone I'm not a failure. I don't know this about Joe. I'm not prophesying. I'm using him as a prop, okay? And then you got this little new inner man that says, "He loves me. Oh, he loves me. Nothing is impossible." But this voice in this big old brain of dung, meathead, says, "He won't. You're a failure. He'll never accept you." So now you have an argument between a little tiny voice in your spirit and a big booming voice in your head, in your natural brain. Are you still with me? So what? Why is the word? Why is one reason the word so important? Because it shows me. Yes, I hear this booming voice that says I'm not going to make it. I'm a failure. That says I'm not going to succeed. I won't fulfill my. I hear this booming voice every morning, but the word tells me that's not who I am. So what do? I'm going to spend the time putting the word into my spirit, man. Because now when I read the word as a born-again Christian, it goes through my natural eyes into my spiritual eyes, through my natural brain into my spiritual brain. Are you getting this? See, your spiritual brain can understand, not only understand God, it doesn't forget things. Some of you forget your keys 5 minutes later. You don't know, you know, what are my keys doing in my fridge? Your natural mind will forget things. But your spiritual mind doesn't forget things. You'll learn something new about God for the rest of eternity. Every day for eternity, you will learn something new about God and you won't forget it. Do you ever talk to someone? You're out and you begin to witness to someone and all of a sudden scripture comes forward that you didn't even know you knew? How many of you experienced that? Well, you know, some people have told me, I used to think that was the Holy Spirit, but it's not. It can be, but what's actually happened was that scripture was always in your spiritual mind. But when you got under the anointing, it allowed it to pass through. It's already there. Every scripture you read is already in your spiritual mind. The reason we keep reading it is to get our natural mind, not to get better, because your natural mind, meathead, dung brain, meathead, will never have the capacity to understand God. It's to make it bow its knee. See, a revelation is not your natural brain going, ah, I got God. A revelation is your spiritual brain making your natural brain submit to the truth that's in it rather than the truth that's in the natural. See, they both have opinions. Opinion of this world, opinion of God. They both have ideas. They both have thoughts. God, the inner man knows God as a father. The outward man only knows God as up in heaven. See, when you see churches built on pleasing the flesh, appealing to the flesh, it doesn't feed the inner man. I'm doing okay. So why do we pray in tongues? Because we need to help people. Why do we teach praying in tongues? Because who better to teach you than the Holy Spirit himself? See, your flesh will listen to a preacher and go, oh, that's good preaching. That makes me feel good. Or that seems right. Coming up Easter in a few months, you'll find in some cultures people crawl on their hands and knees for miles and allow themselves to be crucified so they can suffer with Christ. And to their natural mind, that is wonderful. It makes sense because they don't know. See, they are experiencing God through religious forms. Because the flesh understands religion. Completely gets religion. The spirit man does not get religion. So when you hear preachers say, just go out, go do it. See, now let me pause here too. I want to be clear. Because when I talk about this, I've gotten some abuse for talking about, you know, against inner healing. I'm not against inner healing. But when you say the word inner healing, that can mean lots of different things. If you think God's role is just to fix your natural soul, because that's where all your damage is, then that's not his main purpose. I'm not against inner healing. I would call inner healing mortification if it means whatever voice is telling you you're broken, you shut it up and put it to death. I call that mortification. Revelation, I call that mortification. I am mortifying the thought in my natural brain that's trying to tell me something that's contrary to what God is teaching my inner man. We call it revelation, but a better word for it is mortification. I've told the natural brain and forced it to submit to the truth of who God says I am. Amen. So these are your bodies right here, your outward body and your inner body. Let's not send him out winning the world yet. Let's let him spend some time with a teacher and let's feed him with lots of good food. Let's get some good teaching, some good preachers in there, and let's get some good word in there, some milk. And when he's ready, you can give him biscuits and gravy. But let him get a little older and let's give him some meat when he's ready. But let's let him grow. So many Christians are running around experiencing God in an Old Testament fashion. Because in the Old Testament, they learned how to walk with God and even operate in miracles and power and in prophecy. And so much of the church, because they refused to spend the time, not out of anything other than just not knowing any better, they refused to spend the time pouring and feeding and nurturing this inner body. They're forced to experience God with Old Testament tactics. And that's why you have people walking in the gifts instead of walking in as a body. And that's why you have experiences of prophecy that's going on. I like most prophets, but I hear a lot of whole ministries of prophesying going on that's very similar to what had to happen in the Old Testament. Yes, you can hear God through your natural ears. You can hear God and develop that, but you're no different than the man in the Old Testament. But you're a child of God now. Let's give them a big hand, a quiet hand. Yeah. Let's not wake up Adonai yet. Let's read a little more about the Apostle Paul from Philippians. Yet indeed I also count all things, verse 8, loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of these things and count them as dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So when you hear the word righteousness, I want you to remember that is your new nature. Your new nature is the righteousness of God placed inside of you. And it is what makes you righteous. Look at that little baby. You tell me that baby is not perfect. Go ahead. Try it. Grandpa Gary there, or actually, he'll get knocked over as Grandma Sue goes and knocks your teeth out for messing with the little perfect Jonah there. See, that's your new nature makes you righteous, not your works. Now, holiness, you decide how holy you want to live. Holiness is how much of that new nature I allow to teach and how much of the Holy Ghost I allow to teach my inward man. So he will grow strong and mature. And soon I am walking in the Spirit. I am being led by my spirit man and not being led by my natural man. It's a hard fight to try to fight your natural mind, your natural emotions, your natural body when you haven't poured into your spiritual man. It's a frustrating walk when you look at yourself and try to wrestle with things when you're not big enough yet. Don't go fighting things until God tells you to fight them. Let the Word tell you who you are, not in a way of saying, hurry up, but in a way of saying, you can do this. One of the worst things you can do, listen to me, I'm talking to you out of my infirmity now. One of the worst things I can do is try to do something I'm not ready for. I'm talking physically, but I'm trying to tell you, like, it's very frustrating when I look at where I am today physically compared to where I'm going. Well, if you take that same scenario in your battle, maybe you're fighting something. Maybe you got a camouflage of something that you're fighting. Maybe it's an emotion. Maybe it's a fear. Maybe it's a jealousy. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's whatever it may be. But God hasn't pushed you to fight it something yet. Don't fight it. You can fight against it, resist it, but don't look at it like I've failed. Because I can look at my battle for my healing two ways. I know I'm healed. When I say my battle, I'm saying my battle to walk and operate, my physical body to walk and operate perfectly normal. I can look at it two ways in the morning. I can look at it and go, oh, I'm not there yet. I'm such a failure. Or I can look at it, wow, I'm a little bit stronger today. Where will I be tomorrow? Oh, I can't wait. Where will I be the next day? Because I know I'm going to go somewhere where I have it all back. Now, can it come instantly? Absolutely. Healing is a little bit, we look at healing different, but can it come instantly? Absolutely. But that doesn't matter. Faith does not wear a watch, my brother and sister. It doesn't matter when it gets there. It's coming. I've been set free. I'm no longer condemned to be subject to the laws and the rules of this world. I'm a spiritual creature born of God. I'm his child. I am an heir of God. I have a right to everything the Word of God promises me. But I am on a path to becoming that. And I may not be there today, but don't judge me too hard because I'll get there soon. And so will you. That's in your calling and your walk with God and your emotional struggle. Some of you have been fighting stuff emotionally for 20 years, don't you compare yourself to the other guy? So, well, look at them, Mr. Happy over there. I get one happy day a week. They're happy all the time. I want to just steal their Wheaties in the morning and I want to put some sand in their gasoline. I'll make them have a bad day just so they can experience what a bad day's like. Then we'll see how happy and cheerful they are. Don't compare yourself, because you'll get really sour, you know. Look at every day. I spend time praying. I spend time with the Word. I know, even though I may not see it or feel it, that spiritual body of mine grew a little bit. You can sit in a church like this. You hear Stacy's praise and worship, or come across, and your spirit man goes, ah. Now, when I traveled on the road, I go to a lot of churches, and some of the churches didn't have spiritual worship. It was all carnal worship. And they say things like praises for God or worship, or praises for you, worship is for God. So you try to get yourself excited. And you sit there and you wouldn't feel, I felt like a sourpuss, like I'm just not getting into this. Because the more you learn how important the spiritual man is, the less value you put on the fleshly things. And then you come into a place where there's worship that just touches your spirit man, because it's led by the Spirit of God. And your spirit man goes, ah. If you haven't prayed in tongues for a long time, go spend 20 minutes. Just go, shandaraba, sandaraba, sata. And you feel that little inner man go, ah. Don't give up on yourself. Don't judge yourself. Take every day and say, I'm better today than I was tomorrow. If you had a bad week and you didn't pray, you fell at church, you fell into sin, brush yourself off and keep walking, because the victory is already paid for. But the Word isn't here to condemn you, to make you feel bad that you're not there yet. The Word's here to say, look where you and I are going if we don't quit. Don't quit. We got a teacher, the Holy Ghost. We got the Word of God. All the food. You don't have to go to the grocery store, ladies, and buy food for your babies. You got it right here. You got the Word of God that you can pour into your spiritual man, your inner man, and feed him every day. And he will not misinterpret one dot or one comma. Your natural mind will, but your spiritual mind. He is being taught who you really are. And those fights that you fail in today, that you gave up in, that you quit in, that you lost in, whatever that is, one day that little inward baby, that inward man will grow up strong. And you'll go to the natural brain, the natural emotion will come over and say, I'm here to pick a fight with you this morning, and it will get clocked by your inward man. And you will have victory, and you will put it to death, and you'll say, you are no longer who I am. You may know that now. I know when that emotion comes, I say, you are not a voice from God. You're not a voice I listen to, but it's still there. But one day, in that area of weakness, the inner man will grow up where I'll say, now I'm putting you to death where you will no longer even speak in my life. Maybe God hurts from the past. You can get free from those things. But it's not through wrestling with it. It's simply through letting your inner man grow. Then you don't have to worry. The Holy Ghost will pick a fight for you. And he'll say, you've done put up with that too long. It's time to go pick a fight and put him to death. And you're like, I don't want to fight him. Yeah, you're ready. No, I'm not ready. Yes, you're ready. You're ready. You're not ready. You may not be ready the day you're born again, but if you keep praying, you keep in the Word, you keep worshiping, don't worry. You'll get ready and you'll win. You won't lose. And it won't be an everyday struggle. Don't confuse the everyday struggle with, oh, I'm preaching too much. Don't confuse the everyday struggle with your imperfections as how it's going to be like forever. Because what happens is you build up the inner man, then you will put it to death. And it will be a memory. It won't be in there forever. Amen? All right, let's pray as we close. Father, we thank you. Who have you made us? My Lord. Nothing's impossible for us. We're on a road, a path of maturity, of spiritual maturity, of knowing love, being love, walking in love, knowing you, walking in you, knowing wisdom that's from from your mind, knowing direction that comes from you specifically, we know that nothing is impossible because we refuse to accept our flesh as who we are, and we refuse to give up on who the Word says we can become. We won't quit. Thank you, Father, for such a wonderful, glorious path you put us on to change this world. We're excited about heaven, but we're more excited about changing this world the right way. Thank you right now for each of us here, that you wash us in your grace. You wash us in your love, in your mercy. We're your children. Thank you, Father. Every day, more of you. Every day, more of you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you. If you like prayer, please come to the Green Lion. Otherwise, you are released. We love you. God bless you.